RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Tahuia Bill Hamilton joins us on RCR. He's not on the Hickord Trail right now, but he has been. Kia ora morena, Bill. Thanks for coming on.
Kia ora, Paul. Thank you very much.
What's the experience been like so far, Bill?
Oh, they're amazing. The leadership's incredible. There's a lot of education going on. A lot of people sort of know something's wrong with this, but they actually don't know what is actually wrong with this. They know someone's rights are being trampled on. And some of them, you know, are just looking at the smaller picture, but there's a bigger picture about everyone's rights. There's the kōrero going on about the need for a proper constitution, a written constitution. That's going on. There's the whole phrase of Toitū Te Tiriti is really about the treaty stands, and it doesn't matter what the what act or this government does, because this isn't just act. This is the National Party and New Zealand First as well, and it doesn't matter what they say about whether they'll take it to the second stage or not. They've sort of been a party to what this bill has created, and it was interesting hearing Jenny Shipley's sentiments about it, that, she was from a right-wing National Party government and she just sees the abuse. The thing is that one of the points that we're clear about is it's really being motivated by the rich people, trying to keep rich people having access to all of the resources that are there without any protections for the environment or for the people who own them. So, you know, there's a lot of educative stuff there. Youth leadership is really, really strong, Paul. I think it's, I saw a term was people handing the baton over, or tukua tarako, is handing the baton over to the young people to lead, so that they've got a little team that's leading it. One of them's led by Maria Meno Kapakingi's son, Eru, and he's their spokesperson, but they've got leaders, half a dozen leaders, who have got designated tasks to organise everything. So it's really well organised, and it's more pro than it is anti anything. And it's pro freedom, because one of the points that's being made clearly on this is it's not just Māori rights that this government is trampling on. It's the rights of workers. It's the rights of poor people. It's the rights of people who have been abused by the state. And, you know, there's a whole log of activities that
The state certainly abused us all three years ago, question.
Yep.
Yeah, all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite badly. But I'm just looking at these three principles. It's hard to argue against these principles. So you're saying these mean more than what they appear. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. If you have a look at the first one, it just says that the Crown has got an absolute right to govern. Well, that's actually not true. It was given that right to set up government to look after its own people in 1840. And basically what it's saying is rangatiratanga doesn't exist. That's what it says in that first that's what that first principle means. In other words, that they can do whatever they like. And, when you have a government like this one coming in, you know, it's got no constitutional fetters on it at all, and it has no treaty fetters either. It can just do what it's like. That's what that first one says. The second one says that Māori can have the rights they had in 1840 as long as their rights we agree with. We'll put them in legislation, and we'll put them in legislation to do with settlement acts. Now, human rights aren't, they're not... human rights are human rights, and treaty rights are treaty rights. Indigenous rights are Indigenous rights. And we don't need a government to tell us that we have the right to te reo Māori, or that we have the right to whakapapa, or that we have a right, all those rights associated with...
Yeah, but you do have the language, you speak it, that's the right, isn't it?
Yeah. But basically what they're saying is that you can only have those rights if we agree to you having those rights. That's what that Article 2 says. And basically what they're saying is that they're saying that equal rights means the same rights. Now, if we were to take the right to language, for example, all New Zealanders have a right to the English language, they have a right to Braille, they have a right to sign language, and they have a right to mother tongue. Māori have an additional right, which is to te reo Māori. And that's because we had it before 1840, and nobody's taken it away from us. They've done their best, but we haven't given it away.
Okay, and number three, right to everyone is equal before the law and entitled to the equal protection and equal benefit of the law without discrimination. Everyone is entitled to equal enjoyment of the same fundamental human rights without discrimination.
Yeah, well, I think the same is the wrong word there, because it's who's interpreting it. You know, like, this is really about power. I think that, you know, the idea of that sort of stuff is right, because that's what Article 3 basically says. But what the way it says it is that Māori will have the same rights as British subjects. And that's what that says. What that says is everyone will have the same rights. And that's not, those two things aren't the same, Paul. One of them is saying that, you know, we will give everyone the same rights under the law. And what it ignores is that sitting beside the law is this thing called tikanga, which are the laws that Māori had in 1840 and still have. So
I know we've talked a lot about tikanga here, and I do understand that, you know, what it is, but one kind of works and one kind of doesn't in this technical first world, you know, clinical environment we're in. Is that fair to say?
No, well, it's not. It's not fair to say, because I think if you have a look at, for example, the haka in Parliament on Thursday, that was tikanga operating. You know, there was nothing wrong with it. It was just tikanga. And yet the Parliament didn't know how to respond to it. The House didn't know.
It's pretty scary, Bill. It's pretty scary.
Look, it's a haka that is well known throughout the country. And, you know, it's designed to be provocative. It's designed to say, we don't accept this. Now, I've heard of more scary things being said in this parliament and other Westminster-based parliaments than someone standing up and doing a haka.
Yeah,
and,
river of
and,
filth.
And a young woman.
I'll give you that one. The guy said river of filth. You're all a river of filth. That wasn't so nice. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that abusive stuff in parliament. But the thing is that Jerry Brownlee, as Speaker of the House, he just didn't know how to handle it. And the other thing is that, you know, this parliament is in New Zealand, it's not in England, and a haka is appropriate. Whether it's scary or, I'll tell you what's scarier, David Seymour's bill, that's a hell of a lot scarier.
Okay, I know, I hear you. All right, Jenny Shipley in that clip, I don't know if you heard the bit, she said, she mentioned civil war.
Oh, look, you know, That's
scary.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, that's what was said when that goon was going around the country, you know, on behalf of ACT and all of that before the election. Julian Batchelor, he was saying that Māori, we have got 180 odd years of protest behind us, and it has never ever involved civil war. Never involved us arming ourselves. We've had passive protest from way back in the 1800s. And, you know, like to say that there's civil war is rubbish.
There's a potential for it.
I think the point about this bill being being divisive is absolutely so. But, you know, the rangatiratanga view of this, of the treaty, is that it's a promise of two peoples to take the best possible care of each other. And what David Seymour has done is he's put Parliament into the third world and, you know, got that behaviour that's coming out that's very, what we're very critical of what South American governments do. And it's because, you know, the people aren't being represented. A certain handful of people are, and they're the rich.
So you really think this is class warfare in the end?
Yep. I think that ACT only does things because that are to do with money. They don't do any. They're not motivated by anything. They're not motivated by good, you know, well-being of people. They're only motivated by what makes their rich friends richer.
What about Winston and Shane, then?
Yeah, they're as bad.
Really?
Yeah, of course they are. Yep. And the other thing is that, you know, like, they don't have any value They don't really have any value of tikanga. Now, I hate saying that about Shane because I knew him when he was a young dad and he was writing bilingual books for his kids when there weren't any around. And he's a, you know, he's a prolific user of vril, but I think he has got, you know, his stupid statement about put these people in prison because they did the haka in Parliament.
He didn't say that.
What did he say?
He said that the power existed from ancient,
To put them in prison.
So he didn't actually say that. And people jump, I mean, not just him, everyone, you know, they jump in and tell you what you were saying when I never said that.
Yes, yeah. And he was certainly advocating for that as being a path to take because someone did a haka in Parliament. You know, that's not the first time a haka has been done in Parliament either, by the way. It may have been the first time it's been done in the House, you know, where they're in the chamber, but it's not the first time it's been done. You know, there've been haka done from the galleries that have supported somebody who's leaving or whatever. So,
Personally, I'm not twisted up about that. It's whatever, and we'll all get over it. Bill, if we're to avoid this spiraling to wherever it may go, what has to happen here? How? Just quickly, and you probably can't do it quickly, what is the vision for everyone to live happily together, to have the best of opportunities, the best standard of living, because that's what we want for our kids all the time. We want to improve it, make it better than we had it. How do you see that actually practically working, Bill? That's the thing.
Well, the thing is it's working in a lot of places in New Zealand already. On Sunday the 10th, in Otaki, we had what we called a community conversation about the treaty, how the treaty works in Otaki. And we had three people representing the Crown, and we had three people representing the local hapū. And they just told their stories, and they just talked to each other. And then the audience asked some questions or made statements about it. And one of the things that does, that sort of approach, having community conversations, is that it, and it wasn't a debate, by the way, it was a conversation, but, you know, there were no holds barred. Anyone could say whatever they liked, and people would address the issue, and they'd probably address the emotion as well, but they addressed the issue. And we found that there was a lot more in common than there was in division. And we identified some gaps where we could strengthen the treaty in Otaki, but we also identified a number of initiatives that are working in various ways, and some of them in partnership and some of them independently in respecting, you know, what each party brings to the treaty relationship. So I'd advocate community conversations. You know, one of the things we're dealing with here, Paul, is that New Zealanders by and large are ignorant of the treaty, and as a consequence, they're fearful that if we implement it, they'll lose something. And that's what Seymour and his crew play into, the fear and the ignorance. And what we need to do is to have these conversations so that people can see that the treaty is there, belongs to all of us, and it benefits all of us. And we need to have those conversations about it. There are a lot of examples where the treaty is working in this country, and this legislation is aimed to get rid of that. Can't hear you, Paul.
Oh, sorry. Sensitive question here. Many people will say, well, you know, we've been settling things for ages. Money's gone out. Money's flowing out everywhere. The language is being spoken, though you might argue to what level. Why have we still not seen improvement or a catch-up? I don't know how to put this in the Maori sort of achievements, with the law, education, all those things. Something should have happened by now. It should have improved. Maybe you'll say it has. But that's what people are saying. So what do you got to do to get there, Bill?
Well, there are some areas where it has improved significantly. For example, are you aware of kaupapa Māori education, kohanga reo kura kaupapa Māori?
Of course I am.
Yeah.
Of course I am.
Well, and those work, those defy a lot of the stats about education for Māori.
Yeah.
And yet they're under-resourced. Only 4% of our people have access to them. And they're under-resourced. And if you talk to Iri Tangata Whiwhirangi, who was the champion of Kohangareo, she would say that under their steam, they created 800 Kohangareo. Now, there was some concern about some of the standards and stuff like that, just as there are about schools and early childhood centres. But when the government took control of that and started putting regulations, that dropped to 400. The other thing is, you know, like Māori health initiatives work for Māori, and they work for the broader community. There are a lot of Māori health providers that are working for, you know, that are...
Are they making a difference, though, Bill? Because we know that if you keep eating junk food, you're going to kill yourself, right?
Yep. And they are, a lot of them are making, you know, Iron Māori's made a difference to the health of Māori people. But it's still a small resource, and there's a small space for us to exist. But the big difference is if Māori took charge of those initiatives, rangatiratanga was restored and properly resourced, because those settlements you're talking about, Paul, they're 2% of what they're worth.
I know that. Yeah.
And they and treaties aren't really to be settled, they're to be honoured. You know, the grievances are settled, but treaties are to be honoured. And I think if we honoured the treaty, we'd have benefits, you know, right across the country, not just for Māori, but for everybody.
Because most people just want to kick on, don't they? And
absolutely.
Live their life and make the best of the years, which are limited.
Yep, that's right. Particularly when you get to my age, that's what we want to do.
And same with me.
But we want to make sure that there's a, you know, that the mokopuna won't have to fight in the ways that we have had to do to get our voices heard. And
right, okay. So expecting quite a big arrival at Parliament. Obviously, it's been talked in numbers of maybe up to 30,000. We will see.
Oh, yeah.
What's your feeling?
Oh, I'm not sure what the
numbers are. Hard to say, right?
But I think one of the things that impresses me is the number of people who aren't Māori who are joining this, because they can see the injustices.
Right.
And
Mind you, I could argue that they've been brainwashed by the mainstream media.
Absolutely.
But I could make a very good argument about that.
I hope they have. I don't care why they're there. Because when they're there, they're in an educative environment.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing about it is that, you know, this form of protest is very, very passive compared with protests they have in other countries. And so, you know, we should just listen to them, particularly with the young leadership that's coming through and articulating what the issues are.
I'm not so confident about young people anymore, Bill. I got to say, just speaking personally, they're infected with the woke mind virus. A lot of them are pretty crazy right now.
I think there's an element of that, but I also think, you know, probably one of the most level-headed people in Parliament is Chloe Swarbrick, and she ain't old.
Okay.
Well,
we're going to get a response to that, Bill. I know that.
That's good. Oh, great.
Fair enough. Hey, time's coming up against us. Thank you so much for coming on the program and giving us that view. It's important to have all sides. That never goes away.
Yep, and we'll keep following the hikoi and telling everyone about it, Paul.
Well, maybe we'll have another chat, you know, when it plays out a bit more.
Yep, that'll be good. Okay,
have a great day, Bill. Thanks for coming on.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Te huia Bill Hamilton from Otaki. He's just stepped out of the hikoi to talk with us there this morning. What do you make of that? 2057, if you want to text, inbox at realitycheck.radio if you want to email.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.